Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. And to all of you new listeners out there, I want to let you know that there are 11 years of archives on freemantv.com for you to go through. There is a world waiting to be explored, science that has not been discussed by many shows anywhere. You find source material, you find the origin points of many of the conspiracy theories that you hear out there came straight from freemantv.com. It has gone out and gone wild, gone viral, and I mean, the world. I remember back in the day when I was on Access Television back in 2005 saying, well, one day the world will catch up with the Freeman perspective. And I mean, by golly, it has. Without a doubt, as we're looking at this puzzle and we see sacrifice at CERN, and just think of the mentality that went into the creation of this video, to the ideas that have been implanted on society that now have altered our view of leadership, of politics, of science, and opened this new door into the esoteric or the occult, where hooded, robed people are running around performing rituals and sacrificing people and goats and all of this craziness. And now it comes forward as a prank at CERN. Now, let me just be right up front. When I saw this video, by the way, I want you to know that any of these strange videos that come out, they are, or I could call them weird videos, they are in the weird videos section on freemantv.com. I probably should do extra posts for these things, but, you know, enough people do that. It gets your attention. Yeah, it all works out for SEO, and it's wonderful for the web, but it also just fills up all that space, and you know, why do it? So anyway, if you want to catch any of these strange things that are going on, they are live on weird in the weird video section. So you just bounce on over there, go over to freemantv.com, mouse over watch, scroll down to weird videos, and boom, you're in there. And man, when you start that playlist, after a while, you're going to forget how you got there and what videos you're looking at, because it's amazing, folks. And I try to keep those up to date, active as the events are occurring that are being displayed there. So you will find the sacrifice at CERN there, all right, on the weird video section. Now, immediately, when I saw this video, being a video producer, I was like, psh, this is a fake. I mean, seconds in, I knew, because you can't just have your camera set up and ready, waiting for an event to occur that you don't know is going to occur. So the cameraman, you know, obviously was prepared for those hooded, robed people to walk up around the Shiva of CERN and perform this mock sacrifice of a girl. Now, so immediately, yes, fraud, prank, whatever. Immediately, I thought, these scientists are crazy, yo. Now, that was the thing. Now, yeah, okay. So even if this is a prank, which I firmly believe, and CERN is working hard diligently to get to the bottom of this, it's funny, the people that created the World Wide Web can't seem to find the YouTube user who posted this. Well, now reports are coming around saying that he is dead. I have not been able to vet this information at this time because it's just current. And, you know, every type of thing gets posted on the internet. We need to be wary. We need to be leery. We need to be, you know, really skeptical and research and get deep into things before we announce them to be fact. That's one of the points and purposes of this show has been to stick to the facts, folks. And that's why for 11 years, people have loved the Free Zone. And, you know, I stick to the facts, folks. That's all. And looking at this and the facts is very interesting, because when you start to think of the mindset that creates a reality where people would think to make up a mock ritual at CERN and put this out on the internet, that's where we start to get intriguing. Now, I know so many people scream shill, shill, shill when we're talking about Alex Jones and InfoWars, and I don't blame you, right? I mean, if anything, Alex is a shill to his own ego, right? I just gotta say that boldly and plainly, and this is coming from a fellow who sat in the exact same chair as him. Now, keep that in mind. I did do the artwork and create 7 of the DVDs for Alex Jones's productions. I was the artist, and I didn't make the films. I made the DVDs, made the menus, made the art, and you'll find my name on the back of 7 of Alex Jones's DVDs. Because, you know, I'm an artist. I'm a person that creates this stuff. That's how I got started. That's how all this got started. And realized that when the Freeman Perspective started, when I put out corporate logos and its occult meanings, now, first of all, at that moment, no one knew what a Freemason was. No one knew about this puzzle that they were looking at. Dan Brown didn't even have the Da Vinci Code in theaters yet, okay? So when I began, no one had heard any of this type of occult ritual aspects to politics and high-profile rituals within music award ceremonies. These came from me. This was my discernment of the science that I was applying to the signs and symbols that I was seeing. And believe me, folks, I have them correct. And I can explain and explore nearly every corporate logo out there as according to Freemasonic ritual. And that's where you get all these answers. So, you know, my little bit of work there. Now, the point I was really getting to was that a half an hour show like that first corporate logos video does take 3 months of creation in order for a single person to create something of value, of worth. And I think it kind of set the standard for what the YouTube documentaries had to be. So I'm very proud of my original work and how far it goes back. And, you know, the fact that I'm on HBO as one of the original YouTubers should stand in testament of that. But yes, so these concepts and ideas of these sacrifice rituals and high profile rituals in, you know, Y2K and Anna Nicole, Britney, and now you can see this as a whole new form of conspiracy on the internet. I mean, it's gone off, it's gone viral. We've got all kinds of people, even Mark Devlin, that has picked up the mantle and will be coming on the air on FreemanTV.com in this coming month, has seen this, and it becomes obvious, and we start to realize that this is the truth. I just want those of you that didn't know to understand that that was my idea. You know, I mean, I don't mean to toot my horn, but this way you understand where the origins of these ideas come from. I'm not saying other people weren't having these thoughts, but I was the first to put it out there, to analyze it, to openly vet it here under your peer review. You can still go back to those very first podcasts if you go to FreemanTV.com or you go to the Freeman Perspective. Either way, on the site, on the podcast, or on the television show, you'll see that these were the original ideas on these aspects, and now it's grown and blossomed into this whole thing where now CERN scientists are performing mock rituals at CERN, you know? So it's amazing to me. So back to Alex Jones, and yes, I understand the shillness of that puzzle. And honestly, again, that was my whole concept behind the 9/11 prediction, was don't become an Alex Jones. Now, I didn't know of Alex Jones when I made the prediction, but that was kind of the idea. So I'm always trying to nip the truther explosion in the bud a little bit, you know, or prune it, if you will, or keep it in a right direction, because I feel responsible for a lot of the ideas and information that's going out there, and then how it morphs into people's belief biases, and I really feel like I have to be careful with that. And the way that people toss about shill, you know, without any vetted investigation, I mean, of course, you can call anyone and everybody a shill, but show me the proof. Certainly, Alex Jones is a person that's ego is being manipulated into a point that it's going to become a national frenzy. So this is more than a shill. This is like someone who, you know, he believes in what he's doing. Anyway, the point of this story being that I know Alex and I know Mike Hansen, the two people that snuck into Bohemian Grove and filmed that bizarre ritual under a 40-foot stone owl by all of our world and nations leaders. This shook the world. I remember seeing it on television when they put it out. I think it was like on Now or some station like that, Secret Rulers of the World, I think it was titled. And I remember when that was, you know, all over the place, but not majorly, right? It was still kind of under the radar of the most people. But it showed us something. Now, you'll hear a bunch of people saying, oh, there's no way he could have snuck in there, and there's no way that they were set up for this, and they wanted to release that. All right, again, just from a person myself who knows Mike Hansen, who knows Alex Jones, I can tell you from my own personal knowledge, whether you're going to call me a shill or not, that they did do this. They did sneak in. I've talked with Mike. Now, you know, outside of Alex's ego, I've talked with Mike about what it was like to sneak into Bohemian Grove. And I scolded him for not trusting his Jedi powers, because as they tried to sneak in, now at first they had been told by, I think it was a lawyer, you know, just walk in, don't worry, no one's even like checking. And this was before anyone was concerned, because no one knew about this Northwestern retreat, you know. Now that Alex has turned this thing into the dang Bohemian Festival, right, selling popsicles and whatnot. Anyway, but they did. I mean, from my personal experience talking with Mike Hansen about his experience of going in there and the hell they went through when the camera slipped over to the side on in the bag that he was holding, his fears of opening the bag to see if the camera was sitting all right or not, all of these things he has told me personally. So, you know, I say put it on the shelf. These guys did sneak into Bohemian Grove. Alex and Mike both did, and they filmed this and brought it back out into the world. All right? So that did happen. I just want to assure you all of that. So now we have this new understanding of our elite, of those that are guiding the social structure of the planet and guiding civilization, as people that will go out and have, as Nixon put it, a faggy party with red and black hooded robes with mock baby sacrifices and who knows what else is going on. I mean, we know it's a nightmare. And these are the people in charge. So the prank, you know, is almost a statement to this effect. And we start looking at these new technologies and we start getting fearful of all that idea. And we start putting out, I mean, without a doubt, the lead CERN scientist of the Atlas Project announced that something might come through the other dimension. I mean, this was, you know, legitimate science. I covered, I don't know, 6 years ago or more. Again, go check out the archives and you'll see that I have been covering this story for so long that you should have a fuller understanding of it. You should know that there are hadron colliders or colliders all over the globe, that, you know, CERN's just one of many. And of course, we've covered those and we'll get into this. So what do I think about this? I think that the world has changed and that this concept of wizards in charge of our planet is becoming more prevalent, to the point that CERN, or people that would represent scientists that would have badges to get into CERN, would make such a prank as this film. It's truly amazing, and we'll have to wait and see if the YouTube uploader actually died. I don't know. We'll have to look into that. Now, I mean, if you want to take the CERN science in a weird way, the pentaquark has now been discovered. And if we're looking into magical practices and such, well, you know, a pentagram, we now have the pentaquark, which is one of the main discoveries at CERN at this time. If you want to get any of these stories and follow this, what I consider news that matters is go to my Twitter, you know, go over to freemantv.com or just go to Twitter and type in freemantv and you will find my Twitter feed. Follow me, get along, and realize the truth behind these sciences so that you can really start to know what matters. Because China, Japan, CERN, who's going to be the next LHC, right? Now we're looking to China, guys. Now, this is a puzzle that I've been talking about for a long time. As they sit back there, the sleeping giant, they have the largest economy now without ever dominating or invading another country. And they are about to build the largest collider on the planet, you know, twice the size of CERN and seven times its power. But now it looks like there's also discuss of the Japanese scientists who are proposing hosting the International Linear Collider. And now we discussed last couple of weeks ago about the Linear Collider. Now this, you know, CERN is a ring, right? And everything, the protons go around in the ring. In a Linear Collider, it's straight. And they used to have to make these very long, but now CERN is coming up with technology that they can make a tabletop collider. And I mean, okay, we're just going to keep digging into this, but China's team is getting on this. They are digging deep into the high energy physics and getting ready to get their collider up, which, I mean, it could be 2030 before their collider is happening. But yet, the question being, what is CERN really for? Is it for ritual portals into the other dimension to bring back Cthulhu? Oh, by the way, happy birthday, H.P. Lovecraft, and you know, many returns, and vote green, vote Cthulhu. Why vote for the lesser evil, right? I mean, I think Cthulhu, honestly, is a better choice than Humper Trillery. All right. So, yes, many colliders going around, pentaquarks coming your way, and, you know, tabletop colliders that might just give you time travel in your living room. Where is this all going, and why is this not a part of the common discussion? Maybe this blood sacrifice at CERN will actually start to wake people up to start to look into what is going on with the science. Because it is amazing, folks. We're moving into the singularity, to use Ray Kurzweil's stories. And just as I was preparing for this show, I received my copy of Scientific American. And it's the special issue on the 9 key questions about our future. Now, I've only seen Russia Today, or whatever they call themselves now, RT, discuss the idea that all of these new technologies should be part of the public debate in this current campaign, and I completely agree. So Scientific America is right there asking these very same questions. What mark will humanity leave on the planet? Now, this is the idea that we've gone into the Anthropocene era. That means that humans have done so much change on the geological scale that we have now made an epoch, and a mark in the history of the world by leaving behind, you know, highways and nuclear waste and all the things that we've done. Now, I found it interesting, the parts that Scientific American decided to focus on as the 9 key questions to our future. And, you know, it was the obvious to me, the ones that were like overpopulation, devastation of the planet, obviously these climate change and what we're doing on these type of situations, how that will change us and what we're doing and how existence will change and civilizations will move. Now, all of this stuff was being programmed into society about the time that I was hitting college, maybe, you know, certainly sooner, but around that time is really formalized. We had the Club of Rome laying out this kind of equation, a statistical probability that showed that humanity would destroy the planet. And this led to the concepts. I mean, of course, eugenics going all the way back, this is the same concept. Now, as we're starting to look to technologies of immortality, you know, eugenics starts becoming part of the equation in this situation, and we're going to get more into that. So who will prosper and who will fall behind as we look at the dichotomy and the paradox of poverty on the planet and the ideas of getting to the point where we can create things through nanoparticles and start making virtual real reality? That's pretty interesting. Now, can we feed the planet without destroying it? Now, again, many of these stories, you know, it amazed me that I'm looking at the Scientific American current edition and, you know, can we avoid the sixth extinction? The threat of inequality is what these, and, you know, all of it kind of pushing us towards the concept that technologies can fix everything. Will we control our genetic destinies? All right, we're going to talk about that. and into modifying the germline, looking into can we eventually replace all of our body tissues with synthetic tissue, right? This is the ideas that were coming forward through Ichkov, and his avatar program that he's trying to sell to billionaires, saying fund your immortality. I mean, he's really hoping to even have just a holographic body by the end of it, and you exist in that. So even Scientific American, the sixth problem they were looking at, will we defeat aging, right? Telomeres and how we can alter our genetic structure now to start, you know, this stuff is all over the television and mostly television and movies too. But, you know, J.J. Abrams definitely digging deep into all of these concepts. Battlestar Galactica threw it out to us way back in the day and gave us also this whole concept and understanding of how this might connect to the ancient world. And that's something we're not going to discuss this show, but definitely an intriguing factor. Healthcare, boy, that, you know, healthcare, I guess that one just never really pops into my mind. I think a healthy society that was just based on natural sustainable systems wouldn't, I don't know, I guess healthcare is a concern. I don't go to the doctor, I don't know anything about that. So brain science and criminality, right? Pre-lie, pre-crime, that type of thing. And then if you could, would you want to live forever? I have chronic back pain. I've beaten this body into submission. Now, maybe if I had synthetic tissue, would that help? I don't know. That would be weird to me. I wouldn't even want any body modifications, you know? Would I want to live forever? Not really. Answer that for me in the Twitter feed. Would you want to live forever? Freeman TV. Yeah, just let me know, because I don't think I would. I don't think I would. Time travel, that's a different puzzle. Like, jumping forward to see what's up there, then absolutely. But I think everybody would want that. Colonizing outer space. We're going to get into some of that, but we'll save that one for later. When you find that we're looking into things like stem cells and the new technologies that are coming forward, it's always, can we cure Alzheimer's? And, you know, those of us in this situation where we're at, you and I, where we're watching barium and aluminum oxide and strontium being dumped down and just all over us in these chemtrail scenarios, these grids over our heads. And, you know, our planet, when we walk out of our door each day, is not the planet that everyone around us walks out the door on. And it's been hard for us, and it's true that it's put divisions even into relationships, into friendships and everything else. And I mean, even my the lady at the counter says, well, yeah, you know, my husband's into all of that stuff. He probably watches your stuff, but I don't want to know about chemtrails. I would never walk out the door, so I avoid it. So that's where we're at now. We've got CERN scientists performing, you know, hooded rituals like Bohemian Grove. And we have your every average day receptionist saying, I don't really want to think about chemtrails, right? This is a very strange time that we live in. So that whole thing being, you know, how can we dedicate all this science to surviving Alzheimer's when we're dumping heavy metals over our heads every day? It doesn't make any sense. So that's when we start to wonder what these wizards are really up to, and that's what this show is trying to get to the bottom of. Without a doubt, folks, that's where we're at on freemantv.com, because I dig deep into the science. I try to stay to the point and stick to the facts. You can take what I tell you to the bank and feel safe. So how long will we last? Deep time survival. I didn't even get to that one. And one of my favorite, as I mentioned, science fiction, and how it was bringing this ideas all forward for us to consider the possibilities and the potentials. Ian Banks, who is a sci-fi writer, says, I think you're making the very common mistake of imagining that a science fiction writer knows something about the future. Right. Because, yes, it is just a prediction and exploration and understanding of what it is. And we can't, you know, go to wild theories. We need to follow the steps. But yet, you know, when CERN scientists tell you that they are punching holes into the other dimension, then, you know, we can take that to the bank. That's what the lead Atlas scientist said. Now, when time travelers were announced to say that CERN would never properly function, and then an owl drops in a baguette on CERN and shuts the whole system down, that's when things really start to get weird. So that did occur as well, you know. They say it was a bird that dropped a baguette. The first reports were that it was an owl. So I go with the owl because it really fits into the whole fourth kind: grays, time travel, weirdness, owls, and Bohemian Grove, right? So if you look at the original story, which I'm sure is still linked on Freeman TV under the Space War News, in that route, all right, not to jump off target, but just to give you fillers and understandings on the best ways to use FreemanTV.com, if you were to go to the Space War News, which is under the Read section, then you would mouse over Read, scroll down to Space War News, and click on that. Now, that's going to take a moment to load. It's well over a decade of science that is all backed up, database for you to look into to realize all of these stories, from the bombing of the moon on the way up to, well, you know, clones and drones in space. So there, it's all there. But the point that I'm getting to is Control F is your friend, okay? If you're not familiar with Control F, this is a feature on your keyboard that will allow you to find something. So if you hit Control F, a little pop-up will come at the bottom of your screen, like a Google search, and you can then type in what you're looking for. So say you're in the Space War News and you want to find fireballs, Control F fireballs, you know, comets, bombing of the moon, whatever you're thinking. If you don't know, then, you know, just take your time and go through, because there's some amazing things in there. And he even used all of those articles to write a poem. And I called this Ode to Space War. And it's, you know, I'm pretty proud of it myself. So let's get more into the bottom of this thing, and definitely realize that I am following all of this and trying to give it all to you so that we can really see our future. Because, I mean, we're in the time of gene splicing, and this is something that, you know, we're talking about fine-tuning the DNA of future generations. This is a scary moment. Now, one thing that really popped up on this whole concept of gene editing and gene splicing is that the lead stem cell scientist, George Daly, is now going to lead the Harvard Medical School. Now, Harvard, Yale, you know, we're back to weird occult rituals. We're back to the tomb and, you know, and a lot of amazing minds and strange eugenicists coming out of Harvard. And now the lead medical, head of the medical department, the medical school at Harvard, is the lead stem cell scientist. So this is where we're getting in this whole project. Okay, stem cells, it gets confusing because we use this term, but this is really the base of cloning. It also leads into the gene editing and the splicing, but it's, you know, to when you see stem cell, you should start thinking cloning. And when you start looking to human cloning, you'll always find the disgraced Huang Suk, you know, the disgraced doctor who claimed to clone humans and was found to be a fraud. Now, everyone from the beginning of cloning has said, yeah, you know, cloning humans is not any different. And so right from the get-go, Ian Wilmot, who cloned Dolly, saying, yes, it's no different. We can clone these. You know, I'm trying to clone cows. And you know, but then it wasn't simply cloning, right? I realized that Dolly was an attempt to create a pharmaceutical beast, all right? He was supposed to create pharmaceuticals out of its milk. And so realize that we're not just talking about recreating a being, but, you know, creating a being, making something brand new. And then there are clones of Dolly's clones that are living long and fine lives. So let's throw that whole idea that clones deteriorate or whatever. Science fiction was coming out of that. That's not the case. Clones are shown to be going just fine. Now, old disgraced Dr. Huang Suk has also now joined with another force, Boya Life. And they are set to clone a million cows a year for your dining pleasure. So, you know, this disgraced human cloner is cloning your pet and cloning your food. And so, you know, just realize that it's not that difficult of a technology. It really isn't. The very first clone was cloned by hand-blown glass tools and a hair plucked off of his baby's head to split the egg in half. This is, you know, the technology necessary for cloning. But when you're talking about gene splicing and gene editing, I mean, first of all, ag professional is absolutely announcing that gene splice food is here and it's going to save the world. You know, we know about GMO foods, but this is different. This is writing the genetic code. This is getting into the DNA of the plant, and it's using this new technology I've been talking about, which is CRISPR, which is C-R-I-S-P-R. CRISPR, of course, if you want to go to Freeman TV Twitter and follow along. But Plant Biotechnology Journal is featuring this first application of CRISPR to improve corn's plant's own ability to withstand drought stress. All right, so, you know, immediately it gets into the fear, right? Rapid population growth coupled with limited resources and climate change. I mean, you know, it might as well be a mantra, right? Which means I didn't ever finish that thought of the Club of Rome and the programming that was going on into this situation. Get a hold of Limits to Growth. It's a little book, but it's full of statistics, full of a nightmare scenario that is outlining the eugenicist dream. And the Club of Rome is, you know, scholasticism and putting all of these things into it. I was fully indoctrinated, although not programmed, by the Club of Rome when I was in interdisciplinary studies and got really a deep understanding of what these guys were all about and what they were thinking of, because they were trying to train me to be them. And so Limits to Growth was the scientific statistical data to prove that we're going to die. We're all going to be extinct. Now, the Club of Rome wants us to take this mathematical proof and compare it to real life and say, oh, there is not enough space or resources for life on planet Earth to continue growing as it is. And what you find is that mathematical proofs can be turned to prove on any number of things that they wish to prove. As a matter of fact, like CIA liaison affiliate J.J. Abrams, using the number 47 constantly in his productions, there's a reason for this. And that's because a mathematical proof from 1964 supposedly demonstrates that all numbers equal 47. The professor Donald Bentley offered this as a joke proof that was showing that this could really create imaginative 47 sightings all over. And so now you will find 47 showing up all over the different Star Trek and J.J. Abrams put together. And realize that J.J. Abrams was a liaison with the CIA, one of the first, when he put out Alias. And he worked with Chase Brandon, who was the CIA's film industry liaison, to put together Alias. Now, both in Alias and in his transhumanist television show, Almost Human, J.J. Abrams includes the number 666. Now, this is done covertly in Hebrew using the letter V, But as I watched Almost Human, which is basically a transhumanist forewarning, a foreshadowing of the dangers and perils of what we're discussing on this show today, and behind every police officer was this VVV symbolism. It had no point or reason to be there. There was nothing called the VVV whatever. It was just there. And, you know, as J.J. Abrams slides in the number 47 to show these mathematical proof falsities, also we have this 666 VVV symbolism. But it wasn't just in his Almost Human television show all about transhumanism and mind transfer technologies and all the things we're going to discuss in the next hour. But it also showed up in Alias, which had no point. There was the Credit Dauphine, who was the evil empire corporation in the Alias series, and their corporate logo was VVV, which, of course, Credit Dauphine, obviously there's no V's in that as well. And yet here it is, coded in Hebrew by a Hebrew or a Jewish man into the television shows. Alias and Almost Human, we have this 666 symbolism. Look at CERN's corporate logo. I mean, immediately you see that it is 666 with a hyperdimensional portal. Look at CIA connections to J.J. Abrams, and immediately we're back to the tomb of skull and bones and hooded robes with mock ritual sacrifices. I mean, this, I understand why this video of the mock human sacrifice at CERN would cause such a stir that it is being broadcast in all nations. I've seen articles in numerous languages about this already, and why people are starting to maybe think this is real. Because, you know, there's a lot of reality behind it. The video is a prank, but hopefully it gets people opening to these questions, to these ideas, and understandings of this oligarchy of wizards that are behind the scenes controlling society and engineering us into this eugenicist nightmare. So we may never know what actually occurred at CERN with this mysterious human sacrifice. The spokespeople from CERN are absolutely running around saying this video is a work of fiction. CERN fills up with visitors over the summer, with users from all over the world who come to CERN as part of their work. And some of them occasionally let their sense of humor go too far. This is what CERN says happened in this situation. But just to keep this story strange, rumors are abound now by the YouTuber who put this up, Richie from Boston, saying that this new footage was caught on the grounds of CERN, and if it was real, that's horrible. If it's staged ritual, that's equally bad. I have to agree from Richie from Boston, but obviously this film is a fake. But the attitude that has come into the creation of such a ceremony and the ideas that are put into this are definitely something to consider. Now, Richie from Boston, the YouTuber who uploaded this video, later added, and I don't know. So it turns out the origin of the video posted for the sacrifice at CERN has been found. The problem is, the man is dead. Hoax or no hoax, he says, let me remind you all, we have seen this before and we know that all that expose this evil are killed or made to disappear. Oh, that's such an intriguing idea, folks, and one that I've had to deal with since Rick Clay. This idea that you gotta die to be believed is kind of a strange place for a conspiracy theorist to be. I fully expect for my work to be truly appreciated after I'm dead and gone, but it's unfortunate that we're going to believe whoever dies and not those that remain around to keep talking. So here I come and here I stay, and I'm going to continue to bring this stuff to you in the most amazing ways. And, well, I ain't dead yet. And this story is just so bizarre. Hopefully it is going to open the minds of the public to the concepts of these magicians behind the ideas of society and culture and civilization. And I hope you all will get over to freemantv.com and check out this current article, because I'm including all host of links of on CERN, going all the way back to Red Button Day when they turned on the grid and opened the doors to mind transfer technologies. And just don't forget that the director of research at CERN did state that we are going to open a door to another dimension, and we may send something through, or something may come through itself. That's straight from CERN scientists themselves, so let's just take that to heart. Find those quotes, articles, and everything else that you need for this story on freemantv.com, and get to this post, because it definitely has a lot of more data there and a lot more going on. And I hope you all are ready for the new Freeman Network. The hosts are now coming in, bubbling up, and becoming ripe, and it is going to be amazing. So it is a great time to subscribe to freemantv.com. Very easy to do. Just go over to freemantv.com, click on the subscribe tab, and boom, you're there. It's so simple. It's 23 cents a day, and you can listen wherever you like on all your favorite podcast players and everywhere you want to do it. And I think it's amazing. And now we have a whole new slew of hosts coming your way, bringing you amazing guests. Next will be Cosmic Core, and we'll be getting into some extraterrestrial love issues with Eve Lorgan, Evie, as she is known now, Evie Lorgan and Corinne Wilson on Cosmic Core coming up next. So then we will get in with Mark Devlin and get into the Laurel Canyon mysteries, mind control, social engineering through Joe Atwell, and so much more, guys. So much more coming your way. I'm really excited about what's going on, and everybody involved is really excited to be involved. And that's great for all of you, because it's going to bring you the truly inspired works that you need to hear to get through this mystery that we call life on planet Earth. So until next week, stay vigilant, stay informed, and keep digging into these strange mysteries. I don't care how many... I'm not going to take on the flirthers. I almost did. I hope you all will dig deep into the truth of these situations and realize what is going on, and not just take the outlandish statements and things that are being tossed about, because that's what we're about here on Freeman TV, is getting to the heart of the matter, getting to the truth of the matter, and sticking with it, because there is so much fanaticism being tossed about, so many crazy theories being tossed about, and many of these leading us away from the truth of the situation. And you're going to get that here, and you're going to get to the look forward into where we're going. I mean, it's 11 years now, and I've never had to change a word. And everything that we are looking at on in these shows, all the way back in the archives, folks, they are still meaningful today. And everything that we are looking at is our future that is coming in this new technocracy that is going to alter life on planet Earth forever. And that's why I feel it's so important to cover these topics and to get deeper into our politics of immortality. So I hope you all will subscribe and jump on over to the members section and get in here as we get deeper and deeper into this life in a technocracy and the science of immortality. We'll see you all next week. Thank you for tuning in.